Ms. Creed?
Mira had a cloud of aides of both sexes, all even younger than he and all quietly worshipful of him. Anya mildly marveled that he managed to keep such a level head between the kind of power he had and the kind of adulation he attracted. Anya had just taken a nocturnal run around the interior perimeter of the palace walls, but was still all but snorting flames over her interview with St. Clair. She silently told herself to relax before she answered. She didn't want to take her anger out on an innocent girl.
Yes, Miri.
The Sultan wishes to see you in his study at once, please.
Anya looked down at herself. Her lemon-yellow top was soaked with sweat. But it wasn't like Wira to say something like that without reason.
I'm on my way.
Wira and Pernoma stood peering down at the map display tabletop. It cast a soft, multicolored glow on their dark faces. For once, Wira had forsaken his stiff tunic for a loose-flowing shirt of white silk with billowy sleeves. Over his cavalry-style jodhpurs, royal blue and red stripes down the sides, it gave him the look of a swashbuckler from another age. Wira glanced up as she appeared in the doorway.
Anya, it's the most splendid news!
The Sultan came to her and caught her in a quick hug that made up in passionate intensity what it lacked in duration.
Whoa! What happened?
The Philippine government's reacting like a hollow tree full of hornets knocked over by an elephant. They take anything to do with terrorism very seriously. Good call there, Miss Creed.
Our American guest has many unlooked-for qualities.
Anya was caught off guard by a female voice, and she turned to face its source. In the gloom of the study, where the walls of books sucked in the soft glow of track lighting, she hadn't seen Lestari standing to her left. The woman glided forward. She wore a dark purple ensemble. An amethyst glittered in her navel. Anya, who was less clothes-conscious than any woman she knew, nevertheless felt slovenly.
It was a very good scheme. I feel shamed. I didn't think of it myself.
The Red Hat junks are scuttling out into the Sulu Sea as fast as their engines will carry them. Come take a look at the results of your handiwork.
Anya stepped toward the monitor. To her surprise, she saw a dark surface, vaguely restless, with a number of red dots moving gradually across it. They didn't form anything she'd go so far as to call a formation, but they all clearly headed in the same direction.
That is...
Real-time satellite imaging of Eddie Kaukau's pirate fleet!
Wira grinned with boyish delight at spying on his enemy. He seemed almost indecently pleased with the whole thing. Beneath Wira's happy lad exterior, Anya thought she sensed more than a touch of the predator. She recognized it well. She had more than a touch of it herself. She felt her own pulse rising, the heat climbing in her cheeks. She owed her own debts to the Red Hand. She meant to exact some of the repayment herself.
What you see are the heat signatures of the vessel's engines. They're not terribly efficient, nor well insulated for that matter.
How is this possible?
The imaging comes from an Indonesian surveillance bird, currently operating over the Sulu Sea.
Indonesian? I didn't know they had any surveillance satellites. I never heard about any such thing.
There are a lot of things they don't show you on CNN, especially in the world of black ops.
The Australians helped them build it. The Russians launched it for them.
And the Indonesians know you're borrowing this top-secret surveillance satellite? Last I heard, you weren't on any too friendly terms with them.
I think the phrase is, what they don't know won't hurt them.
They have no systems built in to track unauthorized access, so far as we can find. The Australians are not as careful about such things as some people. Or as paranoid, perhaps.
It's not paranoia when people really are out to get you.
Actually, it can be. The world is full of people who imagine non-existent plots against them and fail to see the real threats.
Anya wondered what kind of response that would get. Muslim men weren't noted for encouraging backchat from women, no matter how liberal they like to present themselves. Powerful men in the U.S. and Western Europe didn't always seem thrilled by it, come to think of it. She had found plenty of opportunities to talk back to authority figures, and by and large, had made the most of them.
All right. So paranoids can have enemies, too.
Why are you so sure the Indonesians can't detect the intrusion?
The long-term diplomatic and strategic interests of Rimba Perak didn't concern Anya, except in the abstract. But Indonesia was a big, cranky, heavily militarized local power. If they spotted what was going on and decided to horn in, recovering the coffin could suddenly become exceedingly complicated. Impossibly so, perhaps. She doubted the Indonesians would give her the time of day, nor listen sympathetically to her archaeological concerns for the artifact's proper preservation.
Our software comes from Malaysia, and they are very careful about such things.
Great. So now what happens?
We go. The moment you made your excellent suggestion, Anya, I set Panoma about the task of dripping the proper poisons in the proper ears. My next step was to put the Navy and Air Force on full alert.
They've been on standby since we lost contact with the Asamandias. It won't take much to get them ready to roll. We're looking to intercept by tomorrow night.
Air Force?
We have a squadron of Harrier jets. The British sold them to my father. They were courting his favor rather heavily at the time. We recently upgraded them with kits from Singapore. They have full night and all-weather capability and carry both laser and low-light guided anti-shipping missiles from Germany. They will provide a nasty surprise for Eddie Kaukau.
You're not going to sink his fleet.
We're going to pound them hard.
Weera pressed a button on the console. A white light began to blink on and off, right next to one of the red heat signatures.
There's your GPS tracker, Anya. Our software has overlaid its return on the Indonesian feed. That's the ship that's carrying the coffin, although we haven't identified the vessel itself yet.
Smart money says it's Kaukau's personal ship, the Sea Scorpion, though.
But we can't be sure the transmitter is still with the coffin.
What do you mean?
She means the pirates may have searched that treasure and found the transmitter.
Wouldn't they just throw it overboard, then?
Not necessarily. It might have occurred to them to place it on another vessel as a decoy just in case of something like this.
Eddie Kaukau is paranoid exactly because he has so many enemies. He hasn't survived this long in the business without a lot of old-fashioned cunning.
In any event, while we have the surface fleet and the planes to give us cover, it's the commandos and I who'll be going in to secure the coffin.
You? Our Sultan desires to prove himself in the thick of combat. It's possible he watches too many action movies on DVD.
Really now? I have my duty to consider.
You have to be kidding.
I beg your pardon?
I shall leave you all to what I'm sure will be a most fascinating discussion. Gentlemen, some words of caution. This Anya Creed is a woman of unlooked-for depths. Underestimate her at your peril.
Lestari glided out, as always, as if a thin force field cushioned her slippered soles from actually contacting the Persian carpet. Anya frowned after her for a moment, unable to decide whether she'd been complimented or threatened. Considering the source, it could well be both.
Your Majesty, I've got plenty to do for this operation. I'd better go do it.
Thank you, Minister Panoma.
Coward.
Anya,
I can't believe you. First, you actually plan to destroy a priceless ancient artifact that might have untold historical significance.
It's a contingency plan only. You know I'll do everything in my power to recover the relic intact.
And now you're actually planning to lead the attack yourself as if you were a commando.
But I have completed the entire commando training program. I regularly train with them, as I think you know. And if you believe the instructors went easy on me because of my status, I very much fear you don't know them. They're Sikhs, mostly.
Fine. So you're a commando. But these pirates are tough and vicious. I've seen them in action. Your men slaughtered them, and they kept on coming. If you jump them aboard their own ships, they'll fight like cornered rats. You could get killed, Weera.
I rather understood that was a customary risk of combat.
But you're the Sultan. Rimpaparak depends on you. You've got mean, militant neighbors looking to swallow you up, big powers circling you like sharks, and a gang of internationally connected terrorists who want to set your whole country ablaze as a beacon for world jihad. You can't put yourself at risk like some kind of subordinate. You can't.
Why, Miss Creed, how sweet of you. I didn't know you cared.
Anya abruptly realized, with a bucket of ice water shock, that she was arguing heatedly with a man who, no matter how enlightened he was still a despot, the absolute ruler of an exotic foreign land, in his own palace. And even though Amnesty International gave Rimpaparak pretty good marks for human rights under Weera, unlike his father, this was still his palace. And just as the ad campaign claimed for Las Vegas, what happened here would most definitely stay here. Of course, she carried an American passport. and that conferred certain advantages. She could no longer count the times she'd been waved through foreign customs or interior checkpoints by authorities who proceeded to abuse their own countrymen and women, trying to pass the same point. But when it came to actually standing up for its citizens' rights abroad, she knew the U.S. government generally stood down. The U.S. wanted Wira to play ball with them. If an American national happened to go missing after becoming a guest in the Sultan's palace, she could all too easily imagine the creepy Mr. St. Clair's flip response. It happens. All this flashed through her mind as Wira stood with his mouth open and an expression on his face that reminded her of a scolded puppy. She understood from that he hadn't decided to weld an anchor around her ankles and drop her off for the sharks in the South China Sea. But if she said any more, especially the kinds of things that were crowding into her forebrain, shoving and jostling each other and clamoring to be let out her mouth, that could change in a hurry. She simply pirouetted with angry ballerina grace and stalked out. Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.